Listen to Conspiracy Theories, Cults, and Crimes now to uncover the world's darkest truths. Find it wherever you get your podcasts.
Pat Narduzzi talking right now, or maybe just finishing right now. Whenever that happens, Jeff Hathorn will join us, our sports director, who's all over the place. What's the term for that, Limits, when you're all over the place?
He's versatile.
No,
he's a Swiss Army knife.
Versatile is good, but that doesn't describe... what's the word when you're ever present everywhere? There's a word for it. You are what? I can't think of the word. And now I'm annoyed about that. You don't know the word either.
No.
I know.
I'm trying to think.
And I'm sorry. I'm sorry about that. I'm sorry I brought the whole thing up, as a matter of fact. But we can ask Jeff about the Steelers' moves, about Pitt opening against the Duquesne Dukes, which should be... Limits, you said that was a 20-point spread, you told us last week. It's 37.5.
Yeah, it wasn't 10 anymore.
It was never 10, Mulsey.
Maybe the line just went up significantly.
It must have. It must have suddenly gone up by 17 points. Let's do a little mailbag while Jeff is coming along, shall we? Will you do that with me?
Oh, there's Mulsey.
Hi, Mulsey. The word is omnipresent.
No, that's not the one I was looking for, though.
But that is
the word. That is the word, yeah.
But ubiquitous.
Ubiquitous.
Give there it
hand.
Is.
Give Mulsey
from the thesaurus.
That's the one we needed. Yep. Thank you.
And happy thanks spinning.
And Jeff truly is. We're going to talk about everything and anything with him. You ready for a question, Limits?
Let me hear it.
I don't have one. This was a good one. No, this was a stupid one. The Chicken Boys podcast asks, Dear Joe, this was a good one. With Kenny Super Bowl champion Pickett being shuffled around so much, do you think he ever finds himself back in black and gold? Limits?
No. No, never.
Never in his whole career? We might not see like a reunion in 15 years with a 39-year-old Kenny Pickett, a 40-year-old Pickett. Coming back here to finish out his career as a backup.
Maybe
a lot of people thought Mason
coach,
would never come back.
Maybe if he's a quarterback's coach, I can't see Pickett coming back, no.
Me neither. It'd make for a nice story. I think we should always remember Kenny fondly for his college days, right?
Yeah, I think so. Pitt should be the number one thing that people think of in winning the ACC.
I don't know. I can't tell people how to think, though, Limits. But
no.
But we should remember his college days fondly. But this was just... It was a disaster. That's the only way to look at it, I think.
And it ended just so horrifically.
Yeah, with him basically asking out when the competition stiffened.
Yeah. After he got that surgery so that he could come back for the Seattle game, and they decided, no, we're going to go with Mason. And that started a lot of the bad blood.
Burke O'Toole. If Burrow, Lamar, and Aaron all stay healthy, how do you see the AFC North playing out? Who do you have finishing 1, 2, 3? I said I see the Ravens winning the division and possibly the Super Bowl, Dr. O'Toole. That is a top three roster in the NFL. I see the Steelers finishing second, but only if Rodgers has a really good year. The Bengals defense doesn't look appreciably different than it did last year, and that would frighten me if I'm a Bengals fan. However, if they play even average defense... That offense is dynamic. They could actually win the division. And when you really look at their season last year, as atrocious as they were defensively, they lost an overtime game and I believe a one-point game to the Ravens. A bounce in both those games.
Yeah.
They win the division.
They win the division. That's why I picked Joe Burrow in my fantasy league, because I don't think he's cooling off anytime soon. Burrow is going to heat up, Joe. And I think that ultimately... The Bengals have a real shot to be able to get into the playoffs if their defense can hold, and that's what I don't have any faith in. I have the same order as you.
They just signed. They fortified their offensive line as well. So what they need to do is fortify their defense. All right. Fred Ulmer, your thoughts on the punter decision, Joe? Does it really matter either way? I said I wouldn't have been surprised either way. And I saw where our very own Brian Batko, the Batconian Mongoose, put out the numbers that Waitman averaged more than 11 yards per punt more. and about 9 net yards more over the preseason. So if that was a competition, he won the competition, plus he's cheaper, plus he was a holder last season, for what it's worth, maybe a lot to Boswell, when Boswell had his first all-pro season. And I couldn't believe that, although Justin Tucker had a lot of those early on. But then I saw, was it New Orleans who was offering a draft pick for Waitman?
Yeah, they did.
I think I might have taken the pick and gone with Johnston in that case. You?
It shows that they really like Corliss Waitman. And he did punt well for them last year, and he was consistent throughout the entire preseason. It depends on what the draft pick was. If it's probably just a 7th. At that point in time, what's more important, having a punter that you completely trust or an extra 7th-round draft pick for a guy that might not even make the roster? I'm okay with what they did.
All right. A man named Steve seems like a nice man. Hey, Joe, can you tell me why Heaney, and this was Tuesday or Monday night, can you tell me why Heaney is on this Pirate ball club? He really sucks. I'm sure that will be a subject on your show in the AM. I'll be listening. I said, I appreciate that, Steve, and I have no idea what he's doing here. And lo and behold, Limits, he only had one more outing in him, and it wasn't a real good one, but at least he collected 50,000.
Yes, 5 runs later, the 5 in front of that 50,000 is the runs that he allowed that ultimately made him jettisoned out of the town.
Just incredible. The whole thing is just incredible, who they kept at the deadline. Meantime, I wanted to read a little bit of this. I got a birthday card the other day by, I think it was a person named Hasty Lefever. And it really made me feel good, Limits. I opened it up today. Sometimes I get a little worried about what people might be sending me, but this was a nice birthday card. Would you like to hear the beginning of it?
I'd love to.
Thank you. Dear Joe, if you ever feel like what you do isn't that important because it's just, quote, sports talk, remember that to some listeners, what you do is actually an important part of their day. I started listening to The Fan years ago when it first debuted. At the time, I just moved into my tiny one-bedroom apartment as part of my separation and then divorced. And went into a bunch of stuff. I don't want to repeat all this personal stuff. But thank you at the end. Thank you for bringing so much joy to my work week. Wishing you an amazing birthday, and may the years ahead of you be full of love, laughter, silliness, good health, and many rounds of golf. So maybe we do, in our own little way, help people in a way. Right, Limits?
In our own way. Yeah, we do.
Do we?
I think in a way we do, Joe.
When you get a nice note like that, it really changes my perspective.
Yeah, it's clear right there. Like, I love going out and being able to talk to people. Like, if you get recognized or you go to a station event, or when we had the 5-alarm marathon or stuff like that. Just being able to converse with people, because
we add a little enjoyment, I think.
Yeah, we're just regular people that have a really cool job, and we love what we do, and we love the opportunity to be able to talk sports, and people feel a connection with that. So it's really cool being able to, you know, hear other people's stories and the way that they connect with the show, because we do have an impact. Sometimes we just don't understand how big of an impact it is for certain people.
I love getting notes like that. And you're right, the feedback we get when we go out and do shows, and we're going to be doing some remotes coming up here from what I'm hearing, and that'll be fun. And tomorrow, we're doing the first edition this football season of a Donnie Football Friday, and that's going to be great. Meanwhile, speaking of mailbags, the Noah Constrictor got asked about Connor Griffin this week. Somebody named Jonesy writes in, what are the chances we see Connor Griffin make the team out of spring training next year? Zangrilli gives it a shot. Greg Brown was a little less gung-ho about this, but said, hey, if the guy gets AAA at-bats this season, that might make me change my mind. At least I'm paraphrasing what Greg said. I'm still a little taken aback by Greg's reaction to my mere name the other day being brought up on the PM show. Do you have that, Limits?
Yeah, it was kind of fascinating. This one.
What was going on here? I've known Greg for years. I once did a huge takeout on him that was very complimentary. I think we have a good relationship. I text him from time to time. What was this?
Here it is.
Starkey said that, and you know how negative he can be, and he did turn 60 today.
He pounded the table, Brownie, and said they're going to have a good rotation next year and that they already have one right now. And yes, he did turn 60 today.
Well, anyway, I mean, to the point.
He didn't even address it.
What is that?
He just laughed it off.
I don't get it. So we were talking about, Brownie had just brought up that he thinks the Pirates are closer than what others might think, which is exactly what I've been saying.
Right.
And I wrote this yesterday for the Post-Gazette.
Tune in to Conspiracy Theories, Cults, and Crimes, a Crime House original podcast to uncover the world's darkest secrets. Find Conspiracy Theories, Cults, and Crimes wherever you get your podcasts.
So they referenced it, and then they, and Pony sometimes poisons the well, of course, right? So
no, the pony over exaggeration.
He threw in a pony poisonous pill there, and he says, Starkey, who can be really negative. So maybe that was it. Maybe that threw Greg off. Do you think if Pony doesn't poison the water there, that Greg at least throws out, tell Joe I said happy birthday? I consider him, a friend. We don't hang out or anything, but I consider Greg a friend. Let's hear that again and analyze it. I mean, I was listening in my car, and I was like, what just happened?
Starkey said that, and you know how negative he can be, and he did turn 60 today.
He pounded the table, Brownie, and said they're going to have a good rotation next year and that they already have one right now. And yes, he did turn 60 today.
Well, anyway, I mean, to the point.
Anyway,
what
to the
hell
point,
limits? What happened there?
You know what I honestly think probably occurred here? Is that Greg Brown felt uncomfortable with the way that it was phrased and bringing up your birthday.
Pony poisons another well.
Starkey
is what
being negative.
Right.
Greg Brown just like, ha, 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 okay, anyway.
Like, what am I supposed to say? Or did he think, here's the other thing. Did he think they were ripping me that I turned, that they were saying I turned 60 when I'm really not 60? Because a lot of people were surprised, including Pony. He's like, I thought you were in your early 50s.
I thought you were 45.
I'm not low-key bragging about anything. I look like hell. But I have to hear that one more time just to hear the little nuances of it. I don't know what Greg was thinking.
Starkey said that, and you know how negative he can be, and he did turn 60 today.
He pounded the table, Brownie, and said they're going to have a good rotation next year and that they already have one right now. And yes, he did turn 60 today.
Well, anyway, I mean, to the point.
Your final interpretation is what?
Is that Greg felt a little bit uncomfortable, tried to just laugh and then answer the question. And he just is not even going to address it at all.
Address what? My alleged
your age, I guess.
Negativity or my age?
All the above, maybe? You know, sometimes if somebody like puts you in a bad position or a corner, you just try to find a way out. So
that's
like,
what I think. Huh. But one person asked me on X, do you and Greg have beef? No.
Ooh.
Not at all. Never. We used to, when I was doing a radio show on a different station in a galaxy far, far away, way back when, in the early 2000s, we would argue on the air about the Pirates and Bob Nutting and all that stuff, much as he does with those guys. But I was taken aback by that. Can you send me a little, that clip?
I can.
In such a form that I may text it to Greg and then say, Greg, how should I interpret this?
Is it as controversial as Pony insulting intern Dom?
And so right now, filling in, pinch hitting, is the very controversial intern Dom. How controversial is Dom? Well, when he was at Oakmont this weekend, people were coming up to him and saying things like, how dare you attack a legend like Bob Pompiani? How dare you say this was rock bottom for him? And that he said something that was a career low point. Who are you? Since when are you Pittsburgh sports media's Siskel and Ebert, Don? And so that's how you've made your name. That's how you've made a name for yourself. It's like Skip Bayless making a name for himself by just crapping on LeBron James every day on TV. So,
well, thank you for that introduction.
You're welcome.
It was very nice.
He just keeps going at Bob, though.
For Pomp to say he'd rather have Justin Fields. That's
Here we go again. You're going at Pomp.
That's a low point in Pomp's career.
Wow.
I hate to say it.
Wow. No, you don't.
That is rock bottom for Pomp.
Rock bottom for Pomp.
Well, whoever says that is a moron. I didn't insult Bob. I didn't insult Bob.
He has a certain way about him that is just, I don't know what it is, comical,
endearing. Insult Bob.
He's a funny guy, isn't he? Intern Dom, or do you feel more of a rivalry with him?
No, I don't feel a rivalry with Dom at all.
Just the way you said no there makes me think you do.
Oh.
You got very defensive all of a sudden.
How is that being very defensive by just saying no?
You didn't just say no.
I could have went, no, Joe, of course I don't think that.
Yeah, you almost did.
Oh, almost.
Yeah, you can replay it.
Almost in reality.
Let me try that again. Do you have any sort of rivalry with intern Dom?
No.
Okay. All right.
It's become a good friendship.
So can I take that little thing? I want to text Greg before the end of the show, now that we're on the topic, and just say, Greg, how should I interpret this, your reaction to that question? Because here's the other thing. Here's the other thing, Limits. Limits.
I'm calling Jeff.
Well, just call him in a minute. It's all right. It's 24 after now. He can just come on the next segment.
All right.
Sports Talk on 93.7 The Fan is presented by Paramount Plus. You can't count on much these days, but you can always count on Sundays with the NFL on CBS and Paramount Plus. Watch your local NFL game live every Sunday on CBS and Paramount Plus all season long. Visit ParamountPlus.com/NFL to get started today. So, regardless of how we interpret that, maybe Pony poisoned the well and made everything weird before Greg could answer. Maybe
made everything weird.
That Greg still became aware through that interaction that it was my birthday and never texted me, right?
That would be correct.
Did he think they were kidding? Like they were busting my chops by saying I was 60 when it was actually true? Could that have happened?
Possibly. I think maybe...
Is Jeff on the line?
No, you told me not to call him.
Oh, yeah. Forgot about that.
Yeah.
All right, take us out with the Greg Brown thing again.
All right.
And maybe we can get texters' reactions. I don't know what to think of it, but I'm going to... if you send me that little clip, I'm going to text him right now, and hopefully we'll get an answer.
Listen to Conspiracy Theories, Cults, and Crimes now to uncover the world's darkest truths. Find it wherever you get your podcasts.